Would you please turn to Jeremiah chapter 42? What we're going to do tonight is we're going to be reading a lot of scripture, but you're going to see a story that is just incredible. When I say incredible, I mean incredible from the perspective of ignorance. It's just amazing what you're going to see. Now, to give you a little bit of a rundown here, Jeremiah is one of the prophets who spoke about Israel's impending captivity to Babylon. And, he had a track record, let's put it like this, of being a prophet. Now, that's the way to kind of summarize everything that led up to this point. We're going to pick it up in Jeremiah 42, beginning in verse 1. Then all the captains of the forces, and Johanan the son of Kareah, and Jezaniah the son of Hoshaiah, and all the people from the least even unto the greatest came near, and said unto Jeremiah the prophet, Let, we beseech thee, our supplication be accepted before thee, and pray for us unto the Lord thy God, even for all this remnant, for we are left but a few of many, as thine eyes do behold us, that the Lord thy God may show us the way wherein we may walk, and the thing that we may do. All right, now stop right there. Why did they go to Jeremiah? Why didn't they go to somebody else? It's because they knew that Jeremiah was a prophet. They knew he had a track record. They knew that he could communicate with God. And not only could he talk to God, but God would speak back to him, and that he could hear God. So they went to Jeremiah and they said, Look, things have gotten kind of tough here. And we're facing some really difficult situations. So we're asking you, would you please go before God, pray, talk to him, and ask him, what should we do? Well, verse 4, Then Jeremiah the prophet said unto them, I have heard you. Behold, I will pray unto the Lord your God according to your words, and it shall come to pass that whatsoever thing the Lord shall answer you, I will declare it unto you. I will keep nothing back from you. Then they said to Jeremiah, The Lord be a true and faithful witness between us, if we do not even according to all the things for the which the Lord thy God shall send thee to us. In other words, they're saying, God be a witness between you and us as to whether or not we'll do whatever it is he tells you to tell us that we should do. Whether it be, verse 6, whether it be good or whether it be evil, we will obey the voice of the Lord our God, to whom we send thee, that it may be well with us when we obey the voice of the Lord our God. And it came to pass, after 10 days, that the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah. Then called he Johanan the son of Kareah, and all the captains of the forces which were with him, and all the people from the least even to the greatest. In other words, okay, it's been 10 days, I've been seeking God. God has spoken to me. So, everybody, get the word out. We're all coming together so I can deliver to you what the Lord said. And verse 9, Jeremiah said unto them, Thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, unto whom ye sent me to present your supplication before him. Now this is very smart on his part. Because he says, okay, it's been 10 days and I'm going to tell you what it is God said to me. But remember, you're the ones who asked me to go before him to find out what he wanted. He says, verse 10, If ye will still abide in this land, then will I build you and not pull you down, and I will plant you and not pluck you up, for I repent me of the evil that I have done unto you. Be not afraid of the king of Babylon, of whom ye are afraid. Be not afraid of him, saith the Lord, for I am with you to save you and to deliver you from his hand. And I will show you mercies unto you. And I will show mercies unto you, that he may have mercy upon you and cause you to return to your own land. But if ye say, we will not dwell in this land, neither obey the voice of the Lord your God, saying, no, but we will go into the land of Egypt, where we shall see no war, nor hear the sound of the trumpet, nor have hunger of bread, and there will we dwell. And now therefore hear the word of the Lord, ye remnant of Judah. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, if ye wholly set your faces to enter into Egypt and go to sojourn there, then it shall come to pass that the sword which ye feared shall overtake you there in the land of Egypt, and the famine whereof ye were afraid shall follow close after you there in Egypt, and there ye shall die. So shall it be with all the men that set their faces to go into Egypt to sojourn there. They shall die by the sword, by the famine, and by the pestilence, and none of them shall remain or escape from the evil that I will bring upon them. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, as mine anger and my fury hath been poured forth upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem, so shall my fury be poured forth upon you when ye shall enter into Egypt, and ye shall be an execration, and an astonishment, and a curse, and a reproach, and ye shall see this place no more. The Lord hath said concerning you, O ye remnant of Judah, go ye not into Egypt. Know certainly that I have admonished you this day. For ye dissembled in your hearts when ye sent me unto the Lord your God, saying, pray for us unto the Lord our God, and according unto all that the Lord our God shall say, so declare unto us, and we will do it. And now I have this day declared it to you, but ye have not obeyed the voice of the Lord your God, nor anything for the which he has sent me unto you. Now therefore know certainly that ye shall die by the sword, by the famine, and by the pestilence, in the place whither ye desire to go and sojourn. Now stop right there. They haven't gone into Egypt yet. But what's happened is this. God has shown him what's going to happen. Jeremiah, they sent you to me, and they thought they meant what they were saying, but I know their hearts. And their hearts are this. They're going to hear what you say, but they're not going to like what you say. And they're not going to be in agreement with it. And the end result is going to be my judgment. Well, look at this. Chapter 43, verse 1. And it came to pass that when Jeremiah had made an end of speaking unto all the people all the words of the Lord their God, for which the Lord their God had sent him to them, even all these words, then spake Azariah, the son of Hoshaiah, and Johanan, the son of Kareah, and all the proud men, saying unto Jeremiah, thou speakest falsely. The Lord our God hath not sent thee to say, go not into Egypt to sojourn there. But Baruch, the son of Neriah, setteth thee on against us, for to deliver us into the hand of the Chaldeans, that they might put us to death, and carry us away captives unto Babylon. So Johanan, the son of Kareah, and all the captains of the forces, and all the people obeyed not the voice of the Lord to dwell in the land of Judah. But Johanan, the son of Kareah, and all the captains of the forces took all the remnant of Judah that were returned from all nations, whither they had been driven to dwell in the land of Judah, even men and women and children and the king's daughters and every person that Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, had left with Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, and Jeremiah, the prophet. I'm not doing so bad on these names tonight, am I? And Baruch, the son of Neriah, so they came into the land of Egypt, for they obeyed not the voice of the Lord. Thus came they even unto Tahpenes, which is a city. Okay, now, let's think about this. We want a word from the Lord. Do you have a word from the Lord for us? Well, not at the moment. Then go seek Him and pray on our behalf. Then come back and tell us what He wants. That way we'll know what to do, and we'll be able to do it. And God be a witness between you and us if we don't do what you say. He says, all right. So he goes and he prays. Now the folks are waiting. Oh, how many days? It's been 2 days. Been 3 days. Been five. Been seven. Been eight. Then they get the word 10 days later. Everybody gathered together. We're going to have a service to hear the word of the Lord. So they show up. And Jeremiah says, okay, here's the word. Don't forget, you're the one that asked me to pray. So he tells them what God said. And they say, you're a liar. God didn't tell you that. Now, why are they responding this way? It's because they had already determined in their heart and mind what they wanted to hear from God. And so they're sitting back and they've got this confidence that, you know, okay, God's going to tell us to leave and go into Egypt and blah, blah, et cetera, and all that. Then Jeremiah comes back and he says, all right, God says, stay put and don't be afraid because God will deliver you. Well, they didn't like that one. And so they said, oh, no, we're packing up. We're dragging you with us too. And we're going into Egypt. And Jeremiah told him, he said, look, your hearts, man, you're wrong. The judgment's going to fall. You folks are going to die. In fact, what had happened prior to this, in verse 6 it talks about that Nebuzaradan and Gedaliah. No, I mean, if you were to go back to like chapter 35 and start reading up to this point, you'd see some of these names because, well, long story short, one guy that had already been appointed their leader, he'd been warned, all right, there's a conspiracy to kill you. And he said, oh, I don't believe it. Well, sure enough, there was a conspiracy and he got killed. You'd have to read the whole story. It's just amazing. Well, anyway, that's what led up to this. And, you know, they went to Jeremiah because they believed the guy could hear God. They had faith that he could hear God. We want truth. Tell us what we need to do. We want to hear from God. We can't hear from God for ourselves. So we're depending on you to stand up and deliver truth to us. We want you to go seek God and get the word of the Lord and then come back and tell us what he said. And so he did. And then the people rose up against him because it wasn't what they wanted to hear. I don't know about you, but this story, it essentially is speaking prophetically of the church today. You have so many churches all over the place. They want to hear what God has to say, you know, through the pastor. And so the pastor has a choice. He can either press into God and get what God wants him to say, or he can just say whatever the folks want to hear. But we're at a time where when pastors stand up and start delivering truth, you got people don't want to hear it. Christians already have an idea of what they want to hear concerning truth. If you stand up and you start saying, okay, well, these things here are sin, and here's the crazy thing about it. You know, you don't have to spend a whole lot of time in prayer to figure this out. What I mean is, all you have to do is just read, and you're going to figure out, okay, adultery is a sin. So if the pastor stands up and says adultery is a sin, all of a sudden the people, you got folks don't want to hear that. Fornication is a sin. They don't want to hear that. Well, you shouldn't be drinking, shouldn't be doing drugs. You know, well, they don't want to hear that. But it's all right in here. It's all. I have the word of the Lord. In fact, you have the word of the Lord too. It's right there in this book, in the covers of this book. So you already know what I'm going to tell you if you're in this book, if you know. And so you've got people don't want to hear it. And you've got folks out there that, the Lord didn't say that. Well, actually he did, and he documented it here in Scripture. But he didn't really say that. Why would he want to impose on us being happy? Excuse me, it's not about your happiness, it's about your spiritual condition. Now, this is bad, what we just read here. But it gets even worse. They have already called Jeremiah a liar in spite of the fact they asked him to pray on their behalf because they trusted him. Now they don't trust him because he didn't say what they wanted to hear. Well, we pick this up in chapter 44. The word that came to Jeremiah concerning all the Jews which dwell in the land of Egypt, which dwell at Migdal and at Tahpenes and at Noph and in the country of Pathros, saying, all right, now, this is like the word that God is getting ready to deliver after they've already, you know, shamed Jeremiah and moved on into Egypt. He says, verse 2, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, you have seen all the evil that I have brought upon Jerusalem and upon all the cities of Judah, and behold, this day they are a desolation, and no man dwelleth therein, because of their wickedness, which they have committed to provoke me to anger, in that they went to burn incense and to serve other gods whom they knew not, whether they, ye, nor your fathers. Howbeit, I send unto you all my servants, the prophets, rising early, and sending them, saying, oh, do not this abominable thing that I hate. But they hearken not, nor incline their ear to turn from their wickedness, to burn no incense unto other gods. Wherefore my fury and mine anger was poured forth and was kindled in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem, and they are wasted and desolate as at this day. Therefore, now thus saith the Lord, the God of hosts, the God of Israel, wherefore commit ye this great evil against your souls, to cut off from you man and woman, child and suckling out of Judah, to leave you none to remain, in that ye provoke me unto wrath with the works of your hands, burning incense unto other gods in the land of Egypt, whither ye be gone to dwell, that ye might cut yourselves off, and that ye might be a curse and a reproach among all the nations of the earth. Now stop there. I want to point something out. You see here in this verse where he says, you provoke me unto wrath. Now, I didn't break this verse down in the Hebrew, but there are other similar references in the Old Testament, and the image they present is these people poking their finger in the eye of God. You know, who do you think you are? And God, you're provoking me. You're starting to bother me here. And so, pick it up in verse 9. Have you forgotten the wickedness of your fathers and the wickedness of the kings of Judah and the wickedness of their wives and your own wickedness and the wickedness of your wives, which they have committed in the land of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem? They are not humbled even unto this day. Neither have they feared nor walked in my law nor my statutes that I set before you and your fathers. Therefore thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will set my face against you for evil and to cut off all Judah. And I will take the remnant of Judah that have set their faces to go into the land of Egypt to sojourn there, and they shall all be consumed and fall in the land of Egypt. They shall even be consumed by the sword and by the famine. They shall die from the least even unto the greatest by the sword and by the famine. And they shall be an execration and an astonishment and a curse and a reproach. For I will punish them that dwell in the land of Egypt as I have punished Jerusalem by the sword, by the famine, and by the pestilence, so that none of the remnant of Judah which are gone into the land of Egypt to sojourn there shall escape or remain, that they should return into the land of Judah to the which they have a desire to return to dwell there, for none shall return but such as shall escape. Then all the men which knew that their wives had burned incense unto other gods, and all the women that stood by, a great multitude, even all the people that dwelt in the land of Egypt and Pathros, answered Jeremiah, saying, now listen to this. As for the word that thou hast spoken unto us in the name of the Lord, we will not hearken unto thee. But we will certainly do whatsoever thing goeth forth out of our own mouth, to burn incense unto the Queen of Heaven. Are you, listen to this. They're standing right there telling him, we're going to worship other gods in your face. We're going to burn incense to the Queen of Heaven and to pour out drink offerings unto her as we have done, we and our fathers, our kings and our princes in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem. For then had we plenty of victuals and were well and saw no evil. But since we left off to burn incense to the Queen of Heaven and to pour out drink offerings unto her, we have wanted all things and have been consumed by the sword and by the famine. And when we burned incense to the Queen of Heaven and poured out drink offerings unto her, did we make cakes to worship her and pour out drink offerings unto her with our men? Then Jeremiah said unto all the... Do you realize what they're saying here? They're saying we're going to do what we want, the way we want, because when we did it our way, we had satisfaction of the flesh. Now here it says that they were worshiping the Queen of Heaven. I did some research on this. There is no clear definition in Scripture or in Israel's history as exactly who this Queen of Heaven is or was. Could have been Ashtoreth, could have been Ashtoreth, could have been one of these other female, you know, pagan entities. But whatever this Queen of Heaven was, it included the women being greatly involved in the worship. Now, there's nothing that I can find in Scripture that indicates there was any behavior beyond the burning of the incense and so forth. Are you following me? But I do know this. In some of those other ceremonies to certain gods, there was additional behavior involving the women. And we'll just leave it at that. But the reason I'm saying that is because the logical question would be, well, who's the Queen of Heaven? Well, I can't find any definitive, clear, this is who, 100% answer. But obviously, it's somebody they shouldn't have been worshiping. And then said to Jeremiah, verse 20, to the people, he said to the men and to the women and to all the people which had given him that answer, saying, the incense that ye burned in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem, ye and your fathers, your kings and your princes and the people of the land, did not the Lord remember them? Came it not into his mind? So that the Lord could no longer bear because of the evil of your doings and because of the abominations which ye have committed. Therefore is your land a desolation and an astonishment and a curse without an inhabitant as at this day. In other words, he's saying, the reason you guys are in this situation is because of the very thing you're pursuing to do. The reason this mess is going on is because of what you've been doing. God's trying to get this across to you. And he says, verse 23, because you have burned incense and because you have sinned against the Lord and have not obeyed the voice of the Lord, nor walked in his law, nor in his statutes, nor in his testimonies, therefore this evil has happened unto you as at this day. Moreover, Jeremiah said unto all the people and all the women, notice there's this emphasis on the women. So they must have been like extra bad during all this. But he says, hear the word of the Lord, all Judah that are in the land of Egypt. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, saying, ye and your wives have both spoken with your mouths and fulfilled with your hand, saying, we will surely perform our vows that we have vowed to burn incense to the Queen of Heaven and to pour out drink offerings unto her. Ye will surely accomplish your vows and surely perform your vows. Therefore, hear ye the word of the Lord, all Judah that dwell in the land of Egypt. Behold, I have sworn by my great name, saith the Lord, that my name shall no more be named in the mouth of any man of Judah in all the land of Egypt, saying, the Lord God liveth. Now, I don't have time to go into a whole lot of detail in this, but this is very similar to Jude when he promised about, you know, clouds without water twice dead, plucked up by the roots. This is kind of a parallel to that. He says, verse 27, "Behold, I will watch over them for evil and not for good, and all the men of Judah that are in the land of Egypt shall be consumed by the sword and by the famine until there be an end of them. Yet a small number that escape the sword shall return out of the land of Egypt into the land of Judah, and all the remnant of Judah that are gone into the land of Egypt to sojourn there shall know whose words shall stand, mine or theirs. And this shall be a sign unto you, saith the Lord, that I will punish you in this place, that ye may know that my words shall surely stand against you for evil. Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will give Pharaoh Hophrah, king of Egypt, into the hand of his enemies and into the hand of them that seek his life, as I gave Zedekiah, the king of Judah, into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, his enemy, and that sought his life." Now, if you remember what happened to Zedekiah, he was told, when the leaders of Babylon show up, don't run, yield to them, and everything's going to work out. Well, he didn't do that. He took off running. They caught him, and if I remember correctly, they gouged out his eyes. They ended up killing. I mean, horrible, just horrible. And so now here's God. He's saying, look, because of this stuff that you've done, these bad things have happened to you. And now even worse is going to happen because you refuse to repent for what you've done. Now, all of this happened. We got to this point because there were decade after decade, the rebellion of Israel. This didn't just happen overnight. It took years for it to get to this point. And remember, God, he said here, Jeremiah repeated to them how God spoke, and he kept sending the prophets. And the prophets kept saying, don't do this, don't do this. Listen, judgment's going to come. Don't do this. Stop it. Repent. Make it right before God. And they wouldn't listen. And they ended up in an absolute mess. Their land was just devastated. Now, this is similar to what is happening in this country right now. For decades, the body of Christ has turned to the satisfaction of the flesh. And because the body of Christ did not stand up and do what was right, not simply repenting from sin, but standing guard over this nation. Because of that, we've had the ungodly rise up. And the ungodly, what are they going to do? They're going to make ungodly laws. And it's gotten so bad that symbolically, you now have Christians worshiping the Queen of Heaven. In other words, they're in support of things that God calls an abomination. They're in support. Well, you know, some people were just born this way. Well, you know, love is love, and how we express it is going to be different for each person. Well, people need to make their own choices. Well, they do. That's why this nation's the way it is. And that's why the body of Christ is the way it is. It has taken decades for it to get to this point. But see, the body of Christ has had the responsibility to be the watchman on the wall for this country. We're the ones who should have been standing guard against any attempt by the enemy to infiltrate our system of government, whereby laws would have been passed that bring us to where we are today. If the body of Christ had been as concerned about guarding this nation as so many Christians have been, I want the golden egg. You know, I want the best that I can have. I want what I want. I want to be happy. I want to feel good. I want to enjoy life. Listen, it's impossible to enjoy life to its fullest in a fallen world. You can appease the flesh, but it is impossible to live the best life you can in a fallen world. It's impossible to be as happy as you could be in this world. It can't happen because of... Just look what's going on. You take a look at what is happening in the Middle East, and what's happening in the Middle East, some of that stuff is happening over here. A lot of it just doesn't make the news. The body of Christ has been, if you will, led into captivity. And now we have a pagan system governing this nation. I'm not accusing our president or any individual politicians. I'm talking about a system. Listen, when states can pass laws that allow the school systems to bring in transvestites and transgenders and all this other to put on seminars for the students, elementary school students, let alone the high school. When states can pass laws that allow that to happen and happen in a way to where the parents are not notified, you've got a system of perversion that is operating in this land. And what's worse is when Christians actually defend these kinds of things. Quite frankly, I can't see how somebody who's still walking in a salvation life can support any of that. But yet you've got this stuff going on. You have churches now that are embracing any kind of a lifestyle because they have fallen so far away from God. And God has said in here, He said, look, you can't do that and not catch my attention. You know, Jeremiah said, you guys think when you were burning incense in the streets to the Queen of Heaven that God didn't notice it? You think He didn't realize it? And then, now listen, Jeremiah put them in remembrance of the Word of God. In other words, he was saying, hey, you know the law. You know the Word. You know what God expects of you. You know what you're supposed to do. And you're rebelling against it. And you're saying, oh no, we had it better when we were free to choose whatever we wanted to choose. Well, you know what? Living a holy lifestyle involves fighting. Fighting against a system that would want to impose its will. In other words, I'm not talking about some sort of open, violent rebellion. What I'm talking about is the more we pray, the more God moves. That's just the way it is. And the more that we honor God's word is the more that He honors us and moves on our behalf. And God has said so right in here. He says, look, if you'll do what I say, then I will protect you. I will help you. And I'll see to it that your land is restored. Well, see, that's the same principle for today. I mean, if He was going to do that back then, guys, He'd do it today. But the body of Christ has to do their part. Now, we sit back and we think, okay, how in the world do you get all the Christians to do their part? Well, you can't. I mean, you can pray, but they're still going to do what they want. Keep in mind, Jeremiah wasn't the only person seeking after God during this time. There were other prophets who were alive. There were other Jews who didn't go along with this. Now, the point I'm making is, Jeremiah did what he could. He sought God. He stayed true to God. God blessed him. God honored Jeremiah. Now, some people would say, yeah, but Jeremiah, I mean, you know, they threw him in the miry pit and all this other. Yeah, but God kept delivering him. And God kept giving him favor. So God turned these things around when the bad stuff would happen. But Jeremiah stayed true to God the whole time. Now, see, that's where we step in. We have to be like Jeremiah and stay true to God no matter what. You know, you can't just throw up your hands and say, what's the use? No, you stay true to God the whole time. Look over in 1 Timothy chapter 4. Because see, what happened back then, God actually warns about it in the New Testament. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart, turn away, and walk from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. What would speaking lies and hypocrisy mean? Well, I'm standing up and yes, you know, I'm the pastor and you know, we're going to worship the Lord and we're going to praise God, we're going to serve God, but then I turn right around and I deliver unto you a doctrine that cannot be established by Scripture. That's a version of speaking lies and hypocrisy, because it's hypocrisy for me to stand up and say, we're going to go forward into God. We're going to do this and we're going to do that for the Lord. And then I deliver unto you something that is a lie. something that cannot produce in your life. And he's telling you right here that you're going to have people depart from the faith. Well, you had the Jews back then departing from the Word of God. They departed from the Ten Commandments. They departed from the order and the structure that God had established for them. It was the same thing. And then they began listening to what he says here, the seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. They begin listening to all these other people that would stand up and say, no, this is what God wants. In spite of the fact that we've asked for truth, here's what God really wants. Well, if you knew what God wanted in the first place, why'd you call Jeremiah and ask him to pray? Why didn't you just do your own thing? And if you look over in 2 Timothy chapter 3, I'll tell you what, chapter 3. Just begin in verse 1. He said, this know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters. This word boasters, it's interesting. It comes from the Greek word alazon. And that word alazon, it originally was a word that was used in reference to, the English translation of it, English version of it would be wandering quacks. In other words, people have no clue what they're talking about, but yet they present it as though they know what they're talking about. Boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, meaning lacking self-control, fierce, despisers of those that are good. Now, this is interesting because this phrase, despisers of those that are good, I didn't write down all the Greek words, but what it means is those who expose their error. So in other words, they will come at you, just like those people did to Jeremiah. God has not spoken through you. They were a despiser of Jeremiah, who was good. Verse 4, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Now, this phrase here, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, some folks seem to believe that this is talking about they deny the infilling of the Holy Spirit and the power that comes with it. That is not what this is talking about. Where it says having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, the power that it's talking about here, the power that he's making reference to, is the power of your born-again spirit, the power of your new nature. And the power, when he makes this statement, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, what he's saying is they're denying the power of their new nature to conquer these things that they're doing in the flesh. All this stuff. You know, and we're not going to get into all these words, but the without natural affection, despisers of those that are good, the fierce, the blasphemers, and so forth. And he says, from such turn away. Because, verse 6, of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts. I always get a kick out of that verse. Every time, silly women laden with sins. In other words, they're preying on the innocent. No need to go into a whole lot of detail here. But he says, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Why not? Because they are boasters. Because they are proud, because they are denying the power thereof. They're standing up, they're delivering what they say is the word of God, but in reality, let me simplify it. They're studying all the Greek words. They're studying all the Hebrew words. They know the history of the cities and the people and the blah, 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 and on it goes. But they really do not know what's going on in Scripture. They are not comprehending the fullness of truth that God is delivering. And in verse 8 he says, now, as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, Jewish history states that these two men were two of the magicians in Pharaoh's court. You remember when Moses, you know, threw down his staff and it became a serpent? Jewish history states that these two men were two of the magicians in Pharaoh's court. He says, now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, look at this, so do these also resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. So it's the same thing that happened with Jeremiah. These people stand up and they, we want truth. And Jeremiah says, okay, well, here's the word of the Lord. But then what did they do? They resisted it because it didn't fit their agenda. It wasn't what they wanted to do. There are Christians that get highly offended. Well, I guess highly offended is a relative term. But there are Christians that get offended when it is emphasized you really need to be regular and faithful in your church attendance. Now all of a sudden they get upset. You can't tell me what to do. Well, show me in the Word of God where God has said it doesn't make a difference. Well, you can't, because God says it does make a difference. And he says here that these men are reprobate concerning the faith. It doesn't mean they never were exposed to the faith. What does that mean, the faith? Well, faith in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and what it really means to be born again. I mean, these guys are reprobate. They are doing in the body of Christ what those other folks were doing within the Jewish nation, the people that had been taken captive. When Jeremiah stood up and spoke, these folks were resisting the truth. They were reprobate of the faith, which back then would have been the Word of God, the instructions of God, the law, everything that the ordinances, everything that went along with being a Jew, everything that God had given to them by virtue of speaking through Moses to the people. They were reprobate concerning the faith. Now, what does this speak to us? What it says is this: when we ask for truth, we got to want it. You know, pastor, you know, deliver us a good sermon. Okay. Well, no, not that one. No, I don't like it. No. Don't you have something else you can preach? Well, no, this is what I'm supposed to preach. Yeah, well, I don't really like that one. Can I have my offering back? No, we've got a responsibility. If we either want truth or we don't. And sometimes truth isn't pleasant because it confronts us with things in our lives that we're happy with. You know, symbolically, I'm happy burning incense to the Queen of Heaven. Now, not literally. You understand what I mean. In other words, I've got things in my life I'm comfortable with that I don't want to give up. I want to live with. So, I mean, I know a story, true story. There was a minister, went to a relative, sat down with him and said, look, you're living with your girlfriend, man. You can't do this. And he said, if you keep this behavior, you're not going to make it into heaven. And the relative said, I know. It's just that, you know, I mean, I'm just, you know. And he made up all kinds of excuses. What do you say? I mean, you either want truth or you don't. And this is the kind of thing that really irritates some people. You know, well, you're singling me out. No. You got to understand, God has already singled you out. I mean, if you're doing this stuff, the Word of God has already singled you out. It's not me. It's God. And so, see, we have to be at this place to where, God, I want truth. You know, just let me have it. And God, he will accommodate. Remember those folks? They said, Jeremiah, go pray and find out from God what we're supposed to do. Jeremiah said, all right, I'll do it. And he did. And God accommodated. And God said, now, Jeremiah, they're not going to go for it. But here's the word. They asked for it. We have to be at that place of being willing to say, God, I want truth. I want truth. And when you give it to me, I promise I'll try to agree with it. See, I went through this. Because when I was raised in church, I was told, you had better be born again. You better accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. But then when it came to tongues, it's like, that is not for today. So I had to go through this, here's the truth. Here's the truth about the gifts. Here's the truth about the Holy Spirit. Here it is. But what am I going to do with it at that point? What am I going to do with it? Regardless of anybody else, what am I going to do with it now that I know the truth? Well, see, I made a decision that a lot of other people don't. I embraced that truth. Even though I didn't understand it the way I do now, I embraced it because I came to the place of realizing, okay, this is truth. I'm seeing it in the Word. It's truth. And so therefore, I'm going to embrace it because embracing it enables God to work more in my life to take me deeper into where He wants me to be. But then there are others, they turned their back. They heard the truth. It was shown to them in the Word of God, but they walked away from it. I don't care what you say. I don't care what you say. That stuff is not of God. That's just like those folks back there with Jeremiah. We don't care what you say. God didn't speak to you. That's not truth. Jeremiah said, okay, you're going to pay the price. And sure enough, they did. And the price they paid, it was pretty bad. So many of them died because of it. God doesn't want us to struggle. When I say struggle, I mean struggle emotionally. But He would rather have us go through internal strife once we're confronted with truth, because that gives us the opportunity to embrace that truth and grow as a result. Now, over the years, as I mentioned, you know, things have been presented to me that go against the tried and true that I believed. But then when I get into the Word and I find out, like, okay, the tried and true, it was tried, but it wasn't true. I better grab something else over here, because that's truth. See, God only works with truth. Truth is the only thing that'll work in us. Now, the reason God wanted all this shared tonight is to speak to us and to tell us, when you hear truth, embrace it. And not just because you hear it, but praise the Lord, we've got a book that we can use to as a point of reference to confirm what we're hearing. And then we have the Holy Spirit who's going to work with us as well to confirm what we're hearing. The Holy Spirit will be in agreement with the Word of God. As we continue marching through time and getting closer to the return of the Lord, more and more stuff like that Johannes or whatever that guy was there that was opposing Jeremiah, you know, those people are going to rise up more and more. And they're going to be saying some things that are going to sound really good. And we've already had, you know, just a small number of people leave this church because they were listening to other voices. And when people do that, you know, the only thing that you can do is to pray. But for us, we've got to stand strong in this. Not only to want truth, but to apply it once we hear it. And sometimes, you know, it can take a while to fully apply what we hear, but we have to keep trying. We have to keep trying. We have to keep pressing in, because that is what God is going to work with, and that is what is going to carry us all the way to the end when He comes back. So guys, look, we're in a good place right here. We're in a really good place. And see, this right here tonight, what I'm sharing with you, it kind of provides some answers as to why we don't have so many guest speakers. There aren't that many out there, you know, that I would have in. I'm responsible for who I invite in. We've had a couple that, you know, stuff happened after the fact. I didn't. Anyway, we'll just leave that in the past. Glory to God. Guys, let us edify each other. Let us embrace truth and go forward with God, so that when Jesus comes back, we're going to be a part of that church without spot or blemish. Praise the Lord. Please stand.